Hello and welcome to Flutzes and Waxels, a figure skating podcast to satisfy all of your skating news, analysis, and recap needs. I'm Mary Margaret Mertzos.
And I'm Alicia Mertzos, and we're sisters with a lifelong love for figure skating, practicing, watching, and discussing. So let's delve deep into what's happened in the skating world this week.
So this past weekend was the NHK Trophy. We have already recapped two of the disciplines here.
And now it's time for the train wreck.
Yeah. Oh, the men's event here.
It was a train wreck.
This was a really tough one to sit through. Like, there were so many issues. There were, I can think of one clean skate off the top of my head. Like, in terms of no issues of any kind.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, this was a really tough event. Especially after, I'm still basking a bit in the glow of that Skate Canada men's event when we were there, and it was so great. The short programs were fantastic, and
almost everybody was over 80.
Yep. And the free skates, like, you know,
not quite as good, but really great.
Roman Sadovsky, who finished last at Skate Canada, would have been sixth here?
Yeah, about that. That's poor Roman.
Yeah. Oh boy, this event. Let's get right into
it. Let's get this over with.
Our winner was Shoma Uno, who unfortunately is still having issues both in the short program and also with some triples in the free skate.
Yeah. This boy.
I mean, that fall on the quad toe was very similar to the one he had in Skate Canada on the triple axle.
It wasn't quite as brutal.
Yeah, he at least didn't run into the boards.
Yeah.
But
it was an intense fall.
Yeah, and obviously missing the combination, which...
Put the combination first. Okay, let me summarize this event. Put your combination first.
Yeah. Life lesson for everybody from the men who competed at this event.
How have we not learned this yet?
Yeah. I mean, at least for Shoma, to be tiny bit fair, he's doing the quad flip first, which he does have a hard time getting the combination of on. So at least for him, I understand why he didn't do it.
Yes.
But
in general, do your combination first. The first time you do a jump in your free skate, you know you're going to repeat it later.
Yeah.
Do the combination first.
I mean, it definitely applies to his free skate at least, because the first quad toe that he did was pretty great. Good. And I had that moment of thinking, you sure you don't want to put the combination on that one?
Yep.
And indeed, he really should have. Uh-huh. He only got one jump combination in that free skate. And I mean, it could have been worse. Again, based on this whole competition,
he was
the best of a bad bunch. But
he was the best of the worst.
Yeah.
Because this was the worst.
Oh my god.
I am still kind of reeling from this men's free skate because it was a disaster.
Honestly, the short program too. The free skate was worse, but
I've had time to process the short program now. I haven't really had time to process this free skate, which was a hot mess.
Yeah, I mean, I do, obviously, in terms of falls and things for Shoma Uno in the free skate, you know, he wasn't falling all over the place the way some of the other guys were. Obviously, lack of combinations is a big problem. But, I mean,
in this field, it actually wasn't the end of the world.
Yeah, the only thing is he obviously has qualified for the final. I'll be very interested to see where he stacks up
I'm scared.
Because obviously, across these two competitions in the Grand Prix, he's had some big issues. It's so weird to me how this is the second season in a row where he skates so well at the Lombardia Trophy.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't quite as strong at this year's iteration, but struggling in the Grand Prix. Obviously, he's putting in lots of quad content, and as we saw at Skate Canada, the triples seem to be giving him troubles, ironically enough.
Yeah. The triples kind of give him more trouble.
Yeah.
Because the problem seems to be getting that combination on a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And like the triple sow at the end was one of the worst jumps he did in that free skate. Why was your triple sow the easiest triple?
Yeah.
Your worst jump?
To be slightly fair, I think for that one, he just looked so exhausted that I think it was just tiredness.
He was dead on his feet.
Yeah.
But that means we gotta work on your stamina, kid.
Yeah, and again, that is the other thing that definitely plays a role here, is we've taken away 30 seconds from the men, and yeah, we've taken away one jump, but that's not enough.
No.
One jump does not take 30 seconds.
ISU, you made a big mistake with this one.
Yeah.
This was a big mistake.
This is kind of, at least part of the result of
this
that.
This is your fault, ISU, that I just sat through this. PSA, if you haven't watched this yet, don't.
Yeah, I mean, we were discussing, what are our highlights even going to be from this event? Because this was a real tough one.
The harder one, though, was picking a Waxel.
Yeah, that too. Which one issue
of these, like, 30 issues?
Yeah.
No.
So, yes, that was our winner, Shoma Uno. Second
off
place.
Off to a great start.
Yep. Second place was Sergei Voronov, who I do have to give full credit to. He was my highlight in that short program.
Yep.
The best short program of the competition. And actually, we've discussed a little bit when we've seen him earlier this season that I'd like to see a bit more emotional engagement with the program. And for me, that was still an issue in the free skate, but he was giving it his all in that short program. And it was a whole lot of fun.
This short program is becoming a great program.
Yep.
The free skate still needs a lot of work. Part of that is because it's 30 seconds shorter than it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And he's exhausted and also usually under quite a lot of pressure because he manages to be about in podium position and like struggling to hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, he probably should have been first after that short program. This was the best short program of
the day. Absolutely, bar none. And honestly, like I said, that was the best skate of the entire competition.
Yeah.
So kudos to you, Sergei Voronov.
Good job.
The free skate was sort of similar to what we saw from him at his earlier competitions this season.
Yeah.
It wasn't a total disaster by any means, but on the one hand, I do think that he can do more than he's showing here, and I want to see more, especially like in the step sequence. But at the same time, I do feel for him, you know, with that 30 seconds lost from it, and he looked tired at the end of this.
All these guys look so much more tired than they did at the end of their free skates last year. There were guys with sweat literally pouring off their faces.
Yeah.
ISU, again, you made a big mistake. This was a dumb choice.
Yeah. At least for Sergei Voronov, I do think that skipping the quad loop in the free skate was
much better choice.
Was a much better choice here. It, you know, he has struggled with it, and I think going cleaner, easier was
clearly the right choice.
Yeah. Because again, it wasn't a bad free skate by any means. And
it was fine.
I just really want that emotional intensity that we got from him in the short program to come out in the free skate, especially since we know it was choreographed by Dennis Ten, and it could be a real emotional moment if he had won the time, and you know, that more emotional investment to give us that feeling.
Maybe we'll get that come Worlds, which he better make it to Worlds this year. Russian fed.
Most consistent Russian man for basically /basically the second season in a row.
Yeah. It was a crime that they didn't send him to the Olympics last year. He absolutely should have gone.
Yeah.
If they don't send him to Worlds this year, I'm going to throw a fit, because clearly this is 2 years in a row where he's done excellent, been the top Russian guy on the Grand Prix circuit.
Yep.
And what? We're just not going to give him anything for that?
Well, and he is right now on the bubble to make the Grand Prix final. He has a pretty good shot. It's not guaranteed yet, but it would be so great to see him in that final 2 years in a row. And even, you know, they have two spots for Russian men at Worlds, and I believe three at Europeans. He, in my opinion, has earned his spots.
Yeah.
And it's great to see that he is still skating strong.
For Team Old.
Yep, exactly.
He's not for Team Russia anymore. He's for Team Old.
Yes. Move to the country of Team Old and compete representing
Team Old.
I don't know what you'd put on your flag, but
a cane? Sure. A walker?
Sure, a walker and a cane. Sergei Voronov for Team Old.
That was a good way to lighten up what is about to become very dour.
Yes.
Prepare yourselves, guys. Yep.
At least, so third place here was Matteo Rizzo, who had, you know, a very similar competition to the one he had at Skate America.
Yeah.
He is definitely still working on that quad toe. It's still very much a work in progress, still not quite getting the full rotation on it. But his triple axels are definitely looking stronger, and I always appreciate that he is usually, at a minimum, fairly consistent among all his triples.
Yeah.
This was definitely a bit of a rougher day in terms of the triples for him, but even so, he didn't let, you know, that quad toe fall to start get everything away from him.
And to be fair to him, he only really had two under rotations.
Yeah.
Because the third under rotation was on an oiler, which you shouldn't be under rotating your oilers, but it's easy to do.
Yeah.
So, and the two under rotations were on the opening quad toe and the triple axel in the second half.
Yeah.
I can forgive you under rotating a triple axel in the second half when it's still a new jump, and B, they just cut 30 seconds off your program and you're dying.
Well, and both these programs, you know, he gives it his all to. He always performs fully through it. And like I said, I always appreciate that even if things go wrong at the start, he fights for each and every jump, no matter what.
Yeah, he doesn't let one mistake spiral into more, which honestly, especially this weekend, was what I needed.
Yeah. The short program was a little bit rougher in terms of under rotations. He definitely, like both his Lutzes and flips in both programs, he looked a little shaky on.
Yeah.
I was kind of amazed at some of them that he was able to save the landing. And so, you know, getting a little bit negative GOE. Yeah.
He seems to be completely sideways in the air and still land on his feet. I don't get it.
Or even just really open sometimes in the air and yet is still able to get around.
Somehow. It's a miracle sometimes, but I will take it.
So he was in some ways a surprise bronze medalist, but at the same time, you know, his consistency is laudable. Even if he's not always completely clean, he is usually at the very least consistent in what he delivers.
Really, he only consistently makes mistakes on his newest jumps.
Yeah.
And yeah, he had one pop in the free skate. But again, everybody had pops and falls and missed combinations, so I'll take it.
Overall, I think a victory for him being on the podium here. He will probably even be an alternate with a third place and a fourth place for the Grand Prix final. So that a very good start to
brand
his Grand Prix
senior.
Season. Yep.
So you go, Matteo Rizzo.
Yep. Fourth place was Vincent Zhou, who was once again just basically about a point behind Matteo Rizzo.
Yeah.
It was a really close thing, and it did unfortunately come down to those under rotation calls. He did decide to do fewer quad attempts in these programs, which I do think is the better strategy.
That said, though, there's still so many questionable rotations on his jumps, on the quads that he does, on the back end of combinations. I don't get the strategy, I'm going to be honest.
Well, I think it's, you know, it's a bit of a learning curve. Again, I imagine lots of people, including skating people, don't watch nearly as many competitions as we do and see the trends in this new jumping system, judging system.
Hey guys, just listen to us every week. Seriously, like, for skaters, it is super useful to just go through everybody's protocols and
just to
see what's happening.
Especially right now where it's a new judging system, just to see, hey, they're being really tough on especially under-rotated quads. If I'm uncertain about my quad rotation, you know, doing a triple where you get, you know, that bigger bonus for positive GOE if you're able to do it well, as opposed to
an under rotation getting 70% and then the negative GOE.
And potentially losing half of that base value if it's a negative 5 GOE. Like, the numbers just don't really make any sense to do quads that are under rotated.
I know that Vincent was, you know, billed to the US as a quadster. You don't have to stick to that for your entire career.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see later on in the season what his quad content is. Yeah. Less so at U.S. Nationals, just because that's sort of a different thing. Yeah. Where
it's an entirely different beast at Nationals.
Mm-hmm. And that's all Nationals competitions, not just U.S. Nationals, to be clear. But there's a lot of times different strategy, because usually national judging is less harsh than international judging.
Yeah.
Just all countries.
With the exception maybe of Japan.
Yeah.
Japan, they're like, nuh-uh, you're going to get this stuff right 100% of the time.
I approve of, but that's not what most countries do. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, he's probably a safe bet for, you know, worlds in four continents. It'll be interesting to see how many quads he puts in, or if they're going to make a concerted effort to work on, you know, say one or two, say the quad lutz and the quad sow, the ones that he did here, to really work on getting those two fully rotated and
completely,
you know,
backwards,
and push the other, you know, the quad flip and the quad toe, push that down the pipeline to fix those
over the summer or something.
Yeah. I'm very intrigued to see sort of where he goes from here, because obviously he did better with his triples in terms of, you know, grade of execution and rotation than he did with the quads that he attempted. And I don't know, but I imagine that had he not attempted, you know, a quad lutz and a quad sow that were called under rotation, under rotated, and just did triples of those instead, that might have been enough to get him on the podium here.
Yeah, it would have been really close, because he was not that far behind Matteo Rizzo. And it really, like, one point, losing, you know, 70%. So first of all, when you get the under rotation, you only get 70% of the base value. The base value difference between a triple and a quad, once you take that 30% off of the quad, pretty close.
And again, you lose half of the base value for a negative five, and you gain half the base value for a plus five.
Yeah.
So again, just numerically speaking.
For example, perfect example is the quad lutz in the second half of the program. He lost about 2.5 points off of the 9.49 BV after the under rotation.
Yeah.
If we look at... do we have a solo triple lutz?
Well, we have a solo triple flip, which in the second half. Close base value.
Yeah. So if we look at the final numbers for that, it was about 4 points to about 6.5 points. He lost a little bit, but that triple flip was not done super well.
And also, doing more quads takes more out of you, you know, in terms of your energy as well. And so then for something like the three jump combination at the end, maybe you have more energy in you to get the final triple sow fully rotated.
Yeah.
And that helps that out a little bit. Again, it's hard to say exactly what would have happened score wise or energy wise.
There are too many factors.
Yeah.
But you have to consider that as a strategy. Especially for someone like Tom Zakrajcek, who he's supposed to be the jump math guy. He's supposed to look at everything and go, okay, what's the right jump math for this?
Well, but that's the thing. The jump math has now changed.
And he has not.
Yeah. The what used to win is not what's
winning
gonna,
anymore.
Yeah. Is not what's going to get you to win now.
Yeah. Especially because it seems that he hasn't taken into account the change in the under rotation policy.
Yep.
And that is the number one thing, is that change in under rotation policy. And that's why Vincent is all of a sudden getting more under rotations than he used to.
Yeah. I do really feel for him, because obviously he's, you know, landing on his feet, and, you know, other than the under rotations, it's not as if he has many step outs or falls or those kind of things, but it is sort of a chronic issue. And, you know, his strategy was working well in some ways last year, but again, the game has changed in some ways, and you have to play by the new rules.
Well, and I'm a little frustrated by Tom Zakrajcek's reaction to some of these things, because rather than saying, okay, the game has changed, so we have to change our strategy, he's trying to say, oh, well, he shouldn't have gotten that, and that shouldn't have happened. But that's not the case. And that's not Vincent's fault.
No.
That's a Tom Zakrajcik problem where he's decided that his skaters shouldn't have the rules changed on them, except the rules changed for everybody.
Yeah.
So they really need to go home and look at the strategy and make a decision about, do we focus on getting the quads fully rotated mm-hmm. or do we take them out?
Yeah.
Because those are your two options right now.
Or, I mean, you could do the middle ground where you take them out and, you know, you work on one at a time. Maybe start with the quad toe. Okay, you're going to do all triples in competition and in your run-throughs for now. And we're going to put a lot of focus in that quad toe to make sure it's fully rotated. And then once you're fully rotated, let's say 70% of the time, then we put that one in the program.
Exactly.
And take it step by step. And, you know, rushing it, especially with this kind of a thing, is likely to hurt more than help, unfortunately. Yeah.
Clearly, this system isn't working for Vincent right now.
Yeah.
So it's time to go home. You have some time before U.S. Nationals. Go home, reevaluate, make smart choices.
Yeah.
Coaching team.
And, very curious to see what his layout looks like. At least the one thing I was glad to see was that they did at least take into account, okay, doing all of these quads didn't work last time, so let's cut down on it. I think that's definitely a step in the right direction at the very least.
Yep.
Fifth place was Dmitry Aliyev, who was in podium position after that short program. It was mostly a pretty strong short program. He obviously had the fall on the triple axle. But otherwise, I mean, I really like his programs for him.
Yeah.
And when his jumps are on, they are fantastic jumps.
But oh boy, when they are off.
Yeah. I really think that being in podium position and also
I'm sure
as well the idea that, you know, if he'd been on the podium here and able to get on the podium at his next event, he absolutely had the potential to make the final.
He panicked.
Yeah.
You can see that in the opening double toe, followed by another double toe.
Mm-hmm.
The first double toe was not pretty, but a standard double toe.
Yeah.
The second double toe was a hot mess.
Yeah, where he was really trying to force that quad and it just did not go. And then the kiss of death was popping the last jumping pass, the single lutz at the end. I really do think, partly because we've seen him have better skates than this earlier in the season, that it was that mental game of thinking about the podium here, thinking about getting to the final, thinking, I'm sure, about European and world teams.
Yep.
That
endearing yourself to the Russian Federation to make sure that you can make a mistake at Russian Nationals and still get more assignments.
Yeah. It's such a shame because, I mean, even with those pops, he, you know, was still doing pretty well to commit to the program in that free skate.
He was trying, but oh boy.
He's another one of those skaters where just everything is there. But, you know, you got to work on, you know, that situation of being under pressure where you're you do the short program and you're in a good position. I mean, we even saw it happen at the Olympics last year where he did really well in that short program, was in the final flight, and then things kind of fell apart a little bit.
Yeah. You know that this is a thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing, honey, you and everybody else who does this, book yourself an appointment with a sports psychologist who can give you coping skills that are going to help you deal with that pressure. Because clearly the pressure is a problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing is, too, the main issue that he had in that free skate was pops. And those pops, to me, did not look like technique problems with the second double toe being a possible borderline. But
the thing about the second double toe was he was rushing that technique.
Yeah.
He just seemed to want to get it out of the way, which is a technical problem, but it's a technical problem that happened because of a mental problem.
Yeah. It's just such a shame because we have seen what he is capable of.
He's such a good skater, and then he does this.
Yeah. I hope at the very least that we can see him have a good skate in France, which is his next event. It won't be enough unless he wins, which I don't expect to happen.
No.
And even then, it probably wouldn't be enough. But even just to have a more redemptive competition where he can skate cleaner close to it,
spoil just something to, for somebody.
Yep. And just to, even just to show to himself that, no, yeah, that was a total fluke and I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah, everything's fine.
Yeah. Sixth place was Sota Yamamoto, who is, you know, coming off of a couple seasons of injury.
Yeah.
And he, you know, has a bit of an easier layout than a lot of these guys.
But it's a smart choice.
Definitely. And he did pretty well here, obviously, yeah, popping the axle to start the free skate.
Yeah.
But he recovered well from that. And even in the short program, he only got a triple Lutz double toe in the combination, yeah, but was still able to get it on there. He,
you know what? There were so many guys that didn't get a combination.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
I have to say, I really love his short program, especially.
Yeah.
I like the free skate, but the short program is a fantastic vehicle for him. And it'll be tough, you know, getting more international assignments since the field is so deep, yeah, in Japan. But it's good to see him, you know, having fairly consistent skates. And finishing in the top six here is a good result for him.
Yeah, I mean, he had two pretty okay skates, mm-hmm, especially considering the field.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's not getting the under rotations that a lot of the other guys are.
Yeah.
No, he's not doing the super difficult combinations, but he's been dealing with so many injuries. He'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
He'll, as long as he doesn't get injured again, he'll get there.
And his triple axles actually look really nice, yeah, and solid. Obviously, the first one in the free skate was, I mentioned, imagine, a mental,
yeah,
issue. But at least we were able to see him come back right away afterwards, mm-hmm, and land the next one.
Yeah.
So he was able to conquer that demon pretty quickly, at least.
Yeah. Off to a pretty good start for him for this season.
Yep. Seventh place was Alexander Johnson in his only event this season,
yeah,
and coming oh so close to 200 points.
I was gutted for him, mm-hmm, for not quite making that 200 points. Couldn't we have just given him an extra quarter of a point, guys? Because let me just start by saying this was absolutely the highlight of the first group.
Yeah, definitely.
In both programs, he was the highlight of the first group.
Yeah. He obviously struggled a little bit with the under rotations, especially on, yeah, his opening triple axel. But he always has fantastic commitment to the choreography and the music. And even when the jumps were a little bit more of a struggle, he didn't let anything really get away from him. He had one pop and obviously under rotation, yeah, issues, but it was good to see, you know, a more clean and confident skate from the first flight.
Yeah. And also, judges, why were we so stingy on those PCS?
Well, first flight, I guess.
I know. But low sevens, he is a beautiful skater. We can have a conversation about the quality of the jumps. Mm-hmm. There are some problems with the quality of the jumps, but the skating, mm-hmm, is lovely. Let's be a little more generous. We can give him more than a 7 for transitions.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Also, I am just looking, mm-hmm, at judge number, I think that's 5.
Mm-hmm. Number 5 and number 2.
Who are so stingy.
Yep.
Especially that 6.0 for transitions.
Mm-hmm.
That's just mean. Unnecessary and uncalled for.
As opposed to, you know, even judge number 3. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
I don't know who it was.
They.
But they went, you know, 7 to 8. Like, yeah, it's still a little stingy, but, you know, you're more on track.
My personal favorite is judge number 1.
Oh, yes.
7 to 5 to 8.
Yep.
That feels much more Alexander Johnson worthy with this skate.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, for him, I think, you know, not his best day, but not his worst day either.
Yeah.
This was, you know, an okay competition.
And in this field,
mm-hmm,
he could have been a hot mess.
Well, and also, you know, winding up middle of the pack,
yeah,
in your Grand Prix event is not the worst thing to
not
happen.
Not at all, especially for someone like Alexander Johnson who doesn't get a ton of international experience.
Yeah. Eighth place was Denis Vasilievs, who started off so well in that short program. He, to me, is the exemplar of put your combination first.
Uh-huh. Kiddo, you know we love you, but why are you putting your combination last? That's a dumb choice.
maybe it's, you know, preparing for later on in the season, because we have seen in the past that Denis Vasiliev, you know, comes out at Worlds especially and is able to have some fantastic skates. But his Grand Prix season
is always a mess.
Yeah, especially his first Grand Prix event. I don't think I've ever seen him have a good couple of skates in his first Grand Prix.
He is always a mess during the Grand Prix.
And so even if you want to switch later in the season to having your combination in the second half, but for right now, just playing it safe would have been...
That would have bumped him up above Alexander Johnson.
Yeah.
Even if he had only managed a single toe.
Yeah. And that triple flip to start was really solid. Mm-hmm. He definitely could have put a triple toe on the end there. And then, I mean, he had the triple axel, which was under-rotated, but that is not his strongest jump.
And he salvaged the landing pretty well, considering.
And it's a really fun program as well. He gets most of his levels and he's selling it.
It's a very Stefan Lombiel program.
Yep, including the yellow pants.
Yeah. I have feelings about those yellow pants.
Just that Lutz at the end, though, where he couldn't get the combination in. And then that free skate was
a mess.
A real rough one.
It started off, could have been worse in the beginning. We had a bit of a disaster on the quad toe.
Yeah.
But again, he's still working on perfecting that triple axel. Maybe we should only do one and not both.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, whatever. And then we got to the second half of the program where we had triple Lutz, Euler, double Sow, single flip, double Lutz. And then two level three spins. And a level two step sequence. Yeah,
that's when you know he didn't get any level fours in that free skate. That's when you know things are going wrong.
Bad Denis. You are not allowed to not get level fours. Though he has such great spins. And the step sequence
too,
is so well choreographed. What is wrong with you?
At least the second half of the program was just, he looked not fully in it. Like his mind was elsewhere, maybe thinking about, you know, that quad toe at the start. He did not look as connected to the program as we know he can be and oftentimes is.
He usually, even when the jumps are a hot mess, he is usually 100% committed to the actual program.
Yeah.
And he was not this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on with this free skate, but this was...
Oh, Denis.
Just a really, really rough one. I really hope we can see a better outing next time, because usually, you know, historically his first Grand Prix is awful, and then he comes, you know, works his way up step by step from there.
Can we not do that anymore, though? Please, can we just start at a slightly higher point?
This was just a real tough one, because I was so excited to see his programs here, and I think both of them have tons and tons
of
potential.
They're such good programs.
Yeah, but especially that free skate, he was not giving as much as we know he could. And, you know, don't let those little points get away from you. Again, we know that you can get those level fours on all your spins and step sequence.
That should be never wavering. Ever. Come on. He is such a good spinner.
Yeah.
Why were those only level three? I can tell you why. We weren't counting our revolutions in our spin.
He just looked like he was rushing and unfocused. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was, you know, the pops coming out as a result of that lack of focus. Just really hope we can have a better outing next time.
Pull it together next time, please.
And then ninth place was Jun Hyung Lee, who had not too bad of a competition for him, honestly.
Yeah.
He was actually, you know, moved up a good bit from the short program. I think he suffered a little bit from going first in the free skate, because in a lot of ways he had a better free skate than a lot of the guys who came after him.
Yep.
It was a bit unfortunate that, you know, he just started off.
Yeah, and I mean, he did have a couple of falls, a couple of pops.
Yeah.
Some under rotations and an edge call.
The one thing I will say for him is he as well was really performing throughout all of these issues. And so the bigger thing for me is just on those PCS. they, you know, they were a little harsh on him, which I do think if he had been skating at the end of that flight that was so
the
rough
of
that,
doom.
That they might have been a little bit more generous with his PCS.
Yeah. Although Alexander Johnson skated at the end of the first flight and they weren't more generous to him.
I mean, a little bit, but...
But Alexander Johnson's...
Yeah.
If we compare, you know, we say that they're the same, mm-hmm. Alexander Johnson got just as bad relative PCS as Jun Hyung Lee. These people were just in a bad mood.
I feel you.
I had to take a break between flights because I was so frustrated.
Yeah, especially after the ladies, because they went after the ladies, which was so strong. Yeah, for Lee, this is his only Grand Prix event. And obviously could have gone better. He's going to be, you know, trying to get in the fight for, you know, probably not so much spots for Worlds, but spots for four continents, since South Korea will have three of them. We can probably imagine, unless something happens, that Jun Hwan Cha will likely get that world spot.
But I mean,
for four continents,
it's a little more open.
To put his, you know, hat in the ring. This was not his best outing, but I mean, we've seen him
not last.
Not last. And we have seen him, you know, have these kind of mistakes before and come back stronger later in the season. So,
and you know what? He was more than 10 points ahead of last.
Yeah.
That's a good place to start.
Yep. 10th place was Hiroaki Sato, who I thought when he first came out, guns blazing, I really thought, okay, here's somebody to turn it around. Because he was absolutely giving it his all, going to go for absolutely everything. The quad toe in the short program didn't go very well, but he started off strong with the quad toe in the free. The
triple axel double toe was still good.
Yeah, really, I was about to say, the first three jumping elements, the triple lutz double toe wasn't fantastic, but I thought, okay, we're fine, we're doing well. And then that spin, I don't know what happened there, but maybe he just didn't feel totally comfortable in his entry to that spin. But the thing is, the spin entrance is like a jump entrance.
Once you step onto that edge,
you got to go for it, or you get a big fat zero, which is what he got here.
Yeah.
It's a real shame. And I think that threw him off for the entire rest of the program.
Yep. Because then you go, oh, wait, did I just blow that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just blew that. Oh, no, now I have to. Oh, God. And then everything, you forget to plan.
Yeah.
And you forget to pay attention during your step sequence and you get a level two.
Mm-hmm.
And then you forget to pay attention in your next spin and get a level two.
Yeah, it was a real shame. The other thing for me, and I don't know whether it was tiredness or lack of concentration after things started going wrong after that spin, but he has sort of a similar rotation position and exit of the free leg position to Shoma Uno.
Yep.
Where his legs are locked in the rotation until the last possible moment.
Yeah.
And he brings out that free leg really late, and it's really close to the ground, and it really got him into some trouble here.
Yeah, I don't understand that landing position. Because here's the thing. All you have to do, both of you guys, is just open your hip.
Mm-hmm.
Your hip's open. Shoma, you do an amazing cantilever. I know that hip opens. Open it up. And you won't trip yourself.
Well, and to be fair, Shoma's free leg exit has improved over the last couple seasons. It was more of a problem a few years ago.
Yeah.
But for Sato, his is really clear. Like, there were a few jumps, mainly like the triple lutz, where basically he wasn't able to get his free leg out at all because he waits too long. His legs were still locked by the time he got down on the ice.
Yeah. The thing about jumps is you are supposed to stop the rotation and get ready to exit while you're still like a few inches off the ice.
Yeah. You just can't wait till the last possible second to unlock your legs, because sometimes it works okay. Like at the start of his program, his rotational position was the same. He just had enough height and enough, you know, strength and energy to get the free leg out quickly enough. But once you start getting tired, it's harder to have that, you know, quick
snap open
to get that free leg out.
Because the other thing that happens is you have to stop your rotation when you do a jump with more than one revolution in it. And these guys are rotating super fast.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to stop the rotation. And the way that you do that is by checking, which mm-hmm. is two things, your shoulders and opening up your legs.
Yep.
And if you don't open your legs until your blade has hit the ice, you are going down unless you manage to save yourself.
Yeah. And that was why he had a couple of really rough falls as a result of that, where the legs were just still caught up in each other and he couldn't get it out in time.
Yeah. Guys.
Yeah, and I don't know. I've seen him before, but not often enough to really know if this is more of a chronic issue or if he was just so distracted by issues earlier in the program. It could be either.
One is bad.
Yeah.
One is more fixable than the other.
Mm-hmm.
If you were just distracted, go see your sports psychologist anyway.
Yeah.
But talk to your sports psychologist about that spin.
Yeah. And then 11th place was Kevin Reynolds.
Oh, Kevin. And
yeah, he is definitely one of those skaters who I wish would sort of take the Vincent Zhou approach from this competition mm-hmm. and put a few fewer quads in there.
Because, it's not working.
Yeah.
And it hasn't worked for a while.
And, well, mainly this season. I mean, to be fair, last season, his rotations were a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on this season, but all season long, his rotation, like none of the quads
are anywhere near around.
Yeah, and even some of the triple axles are really, like, he got a downgrade on mm-hmm. the one in the short program. And
yeah.
And justifiably so. And, you know, his triples aren't that bad that, you know, if he just did triples, he might find himself in a better spot.
He's not Shoma Uno where he's like constantly messing up his triples because mm-hmm. he does quads of all of them.
Yeah. Because like in the free skate, I mean, he had a fall on a triple flip and then an edge call on a triple Lutz.
And an under rotation on the Lutz.
Yeah. But I mean, we've seen him do, you know, his triple sows are pretty mm-hmm. strong. And you know, we've seen him in the past do better, you know, triple flips and Lutzes. They weren't fantastic today, yeah. but I do wonder if that was a bit of a result of, you know, pops earlier on and also some rough landings on the opening quads.
And we also need to make sure, Kevin, that we get enough combinations.
Mm-hmm.
We only did one. Unacceptable.
Yeah. It was a rough jumping day for everybody, but especially for him, too.
And like, why didn't we do a combination on that triple sow?
Yeah.
There was no excuse. The flip and the Lutz were a disaster, so we couldn't do a combination mm-hmm. on those. But you could have done two combinations.
Mm-hmm.
You had another triple toe.
Yeah.
Oh, he frustrates me so much these days.
Well, and he seemed frustrated just uh-huh. in general in the kiss and cry. Other than taking out the quads, focusing on the triples, I mean, to be a bit fair to him with this free skate, he was already at a bit of a disadvantage.
He was at a huge disadvantage.
Yeah, because if you were thinking, oh, this is a new free skate for him, he had music rights issues with his previous one and had to get a new free skate at the last minute.
Basically, it sounds like he got a cease and desist letter.
Yeah.
And was told that he's not allowed to skate to it anymore. Which, first of all, fair use. Figure skating is fair use.
I mean, it depends on what government, though, which is where things get weird. And I have no idea about Japanese copyright law, though. So that's where things get odd.
Actually, yeah. Him being Canadian means that as long as he doesn't compete in Japan, it's fine. But obviously he was competing in Japan.
Exactly. That's where things get weird. And so in some ways,
don't be a jerk is the moral of that story. Don't tell people that they can't use your music.
Yeah, apparently he is very picky. Apparently even Hanyu had to like go and consult with him on music edits and things. But yeah, this was definitely not a help to Kevin, at least. I'm
poor Kevin.
I really hope that we can just see, you know, it's going to be a struggle for him to get on the Canadian world mm-hmm. team, but even just to see him go to nationals and have a better time of it.
Yeah.
because obviously this start of his season has not been going the way he wanted, and it would be a disappointment to see him go out on this note.
Yeah. Pull it together. You can do it.
And then 12th place was Yaroslav Paniot, who
had a pretty okay short program.
Well, it started out pretty okay. Yeah. He started off with a pop, popping a quad flip to a triple flip, which if you're going to pop anything, that's the way to do it. Exactly. Especially in a short program. That's like the perfect pop scenario.
Yep.
Quad toe, triple toe was really strong. And I remember watching it live and thinking, oh, this is going well. Yeah. And then popped into a single axel, which is a zero. And then that free skate, just the pops just kept coming.
That free skate was a nightmare.
Yeah. He's kind of frustrating as well, this guy, because we've seen him have really great events, single events, or like single programs. And he is obviously capable of some nice quads. His triples are really strong when he does them, but
he didn't do a lot of triples in this program.
There were so many doubles in that free skate.
He only did one triple in that entire free skate.
Yeah.
Two quads, one triple, and the rest were doubles.
Yeah. And then even just those levels, level two on almost everything, one level four spin.
And only one combination. Again, it doesn't matter if you've popped it. Chuck a double loop on the end of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or try for a triple toe.
Yeah.
But like, guys.
Just something. He just seemed to sort of give up by the second half of it. I think after that pop into a double axel, that just seemed to be... gave up the fight on it.
That's not the end of the world, dude. Yeah. A double axel is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Especially here. It would have been fine. Why?
Yeah, this was a really tough one.
I'm glad this one was over.
Yeah, this whole event was a tough one.
These men were not fun to watch.
Yeah.
Would not recommend. If you haven't seen it, PSA, don't bother.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I already said that in this episode. I don't care. Don't bother.
Yeah.
It's not worth the emotional turmoil.
Just, you know, rewatch
the ladies.
The ladies, or I was going to say even, you know.
Skate Canada?
Yes, I was going to go more specifically for these guys. Go find a good Shoma Uno program and a good Sergei Voronov program and go watch those. Other than, I will say, in terms of my highlight here, Sergei Voronov short program, winner of the competition for me.
Yep. And I will give my highlight to Alexander Johnson, winner of the first flight. Because...
Yeah.
He was the least disastrous of the first flight.
Yeah. In terms of weekly waxels, again,
all of these guys deserve a great big waxel award.
All the pops, all the lack of combination in the short programs.
And the lack of combinations in the free skate.
Yeah, that too. This was a real tough one, and I am ready to move on.
This is a carrot factory.
Yeah.
So let's forget this ever happened.
Yep. Just hope that Russia goes better.
Oh, please.
That is the hope.
I really hope so.
All right. So that wraps up the men. We have one more discipline left, and then we are on to Rostelecom next week. So thank you all for listening, and please let us know your thoughts about this week in figure skating at flutzescast@gmail.com. You can also follow us at FlutzesCast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for even more skating content.
Check out our website, FlutzesCast.wordpress.com, for episode guides and other fun stuff. And if you like what we do, consider leaving us a review wherever you're listening. We'll be back very shortly with our last NHK episode, but until then, keep a watchful eye out for those Flutzes and Waxels skating fans.